Blog Talk Radio.
About the greatest gift in this world given to us. To say a word, give a touch or a smile, to lend an ear for just a little while. We'll let somebody know how much you really care.
Now you can feel the power of love when you give. There's a whole lot of people in the world that need your help. Now listen to me, no shoes on the feet, no place to call a home, she's feeling all alone. So I give up my hand, cause I understand that that could have been me.
Praise that we all have used before. But it's not just what you say, but it's what you do that speaks so much more. Spend some time with someone close, or just to give a hug when it means the most. We'll let someone know what love.
Amen, amen. You were listening to a song by Stellar Award nominee, the gospel groom, the Singletons. Amen, amen. The power of love. How many know there's power in love? Amen. There is so much power in love. Hallelujah. Love, the Bible says, is stronger than death. Hey, hallelujah. And love is the bond of protection. Oh, hallelujah. I bless the Lord on today. I give him praise for his love. Because of his love, I'm here standing today. Because of his love, I believe in my heart I can still do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Because of his love, looking down on me one day when I was, hallelujah, when I was in a horrible pit, God's love pulled me out. So we're talking, you were listening to the power of love. And I want you all to get ready because this group is going to be with us on Wednesday. Amen. We'll give you some more announcements as the show progresses. But I tell you, I bless the Lord. I give him glory and I give him praise. Amen. I thank him for his wonderful works. Amen, amen. As I was sitting here preparing for the broadcast, you know, we're still, and I want to encourage all of you all that are out there in radio land that have taken on the task, hallelujah, not call it a good pleasure to spend some time with the Lord, to crucify this flesh on this 21-day fast. I want to encourage you, and I want to let you know today we want to know what some of your prayer requests are, what you're seeking God for. What you want him to do for you, hallelujah, and what you want to do for the Lord. See, this is a twofold thing, fasting and prayer, hallelujah. You're just not committing your ways to the Lord, but the Lord commits himself to you because he's obligated to us. God is obligated to his children. That's just like a parent. Parent is obligated to their children. When they become of age, they're no longer obligated. Hallelujah. But I thank the Lord today. And I was sitting here, and I just want to read this into your hearing. We just want to read verses Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And it just struck me. Hallelujah. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, talking about Solomon. And he says, vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So that means everything that you can labor for, everything that you think is pleasant and lovely and good, Solomon said is vanity. Vanity of vanities. Then verse 3 says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Verse 4 says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth, hallelujah, God's earth abideth forever. Some people teach that the earth going to be dissolved. Oh, but this scripture here telling you today that the earth abided forever. The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. God, hallelujah. I read down to verse 8. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. Look at this God that we're serving. Verse 7 says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Look at the great God that we're serving. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Verse 8 says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot study, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Are you satisfied today? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Ha ha. But guess what? The closer I get to the Lord, the more content I become. Amen. So once again, we want to welcome you to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries. Hallelujah. We're just so thankful for each and every one of you. For our first-time listeners may be tuning in for the first time on the archives and in the internet and on the chat room. We like to say, praise ye the Lord. And we pray that you're having a glorious year. Happy New Year again to all of you all. We are in the 14th day of the new year this day. Amen, and I'm celebrating it. So I want to just get a few quick announcements out the way, and then we're going to open up with the word of prayer, and then we're going to proceed on because we got a woman that's going to speak to us today. Hallelujah. And she don't profess to be a preacher or a teacher, but I tell her she is because she's a woman of wisdom, a woman of wisdom. And if you have walked with the Lord for any amount of time, if you have suffered and you have gone through tests and trials and you still remain firm, you still standing on the foundation of God, let me tell you something. He has already deposited in you some wisdom and some knowledge. Amen, amen. So we want to let you know this week, I tell you, you better not miss a day this week. We have some exciting speakers on this week. Starting tomorrow, amen. Well, starting today, we have an excited speaker. Guest speaker for us today, been with us throughout this broadcast. And also on tomorrow, Tuesday, we have a young woman I've been knowing, hallelujah, for at least about 14 years now. She was a teenager when I left Atlanta, but she's a rising evangelist. She's an anointed, powerful young woman out of Atlanta, Georgia, and her name is Evangelist Tajana Logan. This young woman, I tell you, she's doing a work for the Lord. She is working in ministry, and you know, it does your heart good when you see God raise up these young people that you've seen blossom with children and going into teenage, and now she's married with children and still firmly standing on the word, still loving the Lord. So she'll be with us on Tuesday. And Wednesday, we played a CD from my cousins. These are my cousins, the Singletons out of Lansing, Michigan. And they were nominated. They were a Stellar Award nominee about 3 or 4 years ago when they did their second CD. Now, this is their third CD. And the single, the name of the CD is called The Power of Love. And that single is being released tomorrow on January. But they will be with us on Wednesday. Amen. So you don't want to miss them. And then we have another powerful speaker along with them. And I'm still waiting with confirmation for that. So we'll give you that a little bit later, waiting for confirmation. And also on Thursday, we have Dr. Kenneth Burford will be speaking for us from Christ Redeeming Center, another powerful man of God, a great teacher, a great preacher in the gospel that's doing the work here in Stockton, California. And on Friday, you don't want to miss Friday, we're going to climax with another young man that's going to be our first-time speaker on this broadcast, and he hails out of Valley, Alabama, and his ministry is called Open Heaven, Open Heaven Outreach International, and he is Apostle Jamal, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Jamal Tramiel, amen. So you can, if you want to see who he is, go to openheavenoutreachinternational.org. All of that is spelled out. and you can see his website. He'll be with us on Friday. I tell you, God is doing some great and exciting things for this ministry, and I thank God for the doors that he opened. I thank God for having this platform where we can have the men and women of God to come and minister the gospel to us. Amen. Amen. So we're glad. See, Sister Millie, God bless you, Sister Millie. I see, Lord have mercy. I knew it was something else I had to do. Give me a few scriptures, but I think you got some scriptures and some enlightenment, and you'll get some more today from our speaker. Amen. You know, I'll tell you all a little bit about that. Let me let Evangelist Lucilla Williams come on in here and open up with the word of prayer for us on the day. God bless you, woman of God. How are you today?
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God Almighty. This is another day that the Lord has made, and another year, a new dawn, a new era, a new time that we've never seen before. I praise God in it. I'm rejoicing in it. And I'm going to keep on lifting him up. Amen. And we just thank God for the new evangelist, Adrian Bernard. God bless you, woman of God, and all the others that are on the line, Sister Millie. And I see another caller here at the area code 209, and that's 4513. God bless you and all those in the archives that are listening in and in the chat room. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to go into a word of prayer real quick, and we're just going to just enjoy the presence of God. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you again, another day that you have made, and that you have made a way for us to be here today, assembled together in fellowship on this broadcast of new destiny. This is a new destiny for us, oh Father God, and we're grateful, and we thank you. We thank you for waking us up this morning, oh Father God, and starting us on our way, having a mind on you and to be in this fellowship and to hear your word and to receive your word, and that those that are listening will be a doer. They will receive it and be a doer of your word. We thank you for that, Lord God. Oh, God, we ask you to bless this fellowship of time of reflection in the name of Jesus. Have your way on the speaker today in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, speak through her or him in the name of Jesus. And just do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Have your way, because it's all about you, Lord God. And we decree that you will increase, oh, Father God, and have your way in that more abundantly. Bless all the callers that are calling in, that are en route and clicking in, oh, Lord God. Bless those in the chat room that they will receive and be blessed from this word on today. Bless those that are listening in the archives as well, Lord God. Bless them, oh, Lord God. Touch their heart and mind, that they will come to the knowledge, that they will receive and hear your word and walk in the truth of your word and knowledge. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we just thank you, oh, Father God. We bless you for this dynamic, wonderful ministry that you have given this great woman of God. And, Lord, I ask you that you continue to bless this ministry and all those who are supportive and speak and contribute to it in the name of Jesus. These blessings we ask in your name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Evangelist Lucilla. I tell you, we just so thankful for this woman of God, and thank God for all the supporters and listeners of this broadcast. I tell you, we have been on this line for 13 months and, you know, never even saw a day like today, but we thank God for it. You know, we were doing a time of reflection, and that's the name of this broadcast, is a time of reflection. But we were setting aside Thursday as a time of reflection, and as we approach it almost a year with the loss of our dear sister, whom was mother gained. In March, I could hardly believe it's almost been a year, and we were doing this quite frequently, at least twice a month, and we're going to try to incorporate that again where we, those that are, have not accepted their calling in the ministry as a minister or an evangelist or, you know, a preacher, teacher of the gospel, and give them an opportunity, because everybody that is serving God has something to declare and proclaim and say about the goodness of the Lord. And I just sincerely believe that you can't be a saint and somebody asks you to get up and say something about the Lord and we shy away. Hey, if you don't have nothing to say but give a testimony, you got something to say about how good the Lord has been to you. And we thank God for that on this afternoon. We thank God for the women and men of God that he entrusts to come on this line and speak an on-time word for us. I tell you, in this week, we got a full week. God is just doing some things, and just give you a little highlights. We've been having at least 17 to 20 some more people on the line every day. Today, last week, Evangelist Lucilla couldn't get on. There was 27 callers that called in the line that day, and, you know, there was some technical difficulties. So anytime you're dealing with something that's man-made, you can expect some difficulties. Amen. But this woman of God that I'm going to introduce today, I tell you, she has been a blessing to this ministry spiritually and naturally, and she don't like you to make over or what have you, but she is a woman of much wisdom. She is a woman that has travailed. She is a woman that has experienced the joys, the ups, the downs, the highs and the lows of life. And I tell you, if you talk to her, get to know her, she'll give you some wisdom and she'll give you some nuggets to live by. Hallelujah. How many know that those that have gone on before us and those that have a few years upon us, they have more experiences than us? I don't have the experience that my 76-year-old mother have. Hallelujah. But she's been here a little bit longer. But the Bible says age should speak and multitude of years should give counsel. Amen. So I'm just so honored to have with us today, and she's going to share the word of God with us today. And again, our destiny focus for this week is the benefits of fasting and prayer. The benefits of fasting and prayer. So she's going to come right on and share the word of God with us on today. And that's none other than Sister Ruby Larry of Stockton, California. So we welcome her with open arms, not welcoming her to this broadcast, because she has a home here on this broadcast, and we all know Sister Ruby that's on the line. So I asked her, you know, I know we had some heavyweights come forward, but if you have lived a life of fasting and prayer, you know what fasting will do, you know what prayer can do. She can elaborate on that on today. So we thank God for this opportunity, and we certainly thank God for her not shying away from us asking her to come forward and minister the word for us on today. So with no further ado, we'd like to present to some and introduce to others our speaker for the hour, and that's again is Sister Ruby Larry. God bless you, Sister Ruby. How are you today?
Oh, just blessed to the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's a blessing to be on the line, and it's a blessing that the Lord put me on your heart for you to want me to bring a time of reflection and with the benefits of fasting and prayer. What are the benefits of fasting and prayer? And thank you so much, Evangelist Adrian, for allowing me to come on the broadcast and speak to God's people for a few minutes, according to as the Holy Ghost has his way. Father God, we just thank you and praise you and bless your holy name. As the word go forth, Lord Jesus, the one to cover it, to go which you sent it to be, Lord Jesus, have your way. Let this word be a food for our souls, for our minds, for our hearts, and for the love that we have for you and your people. We love you and we praise you, and we ask that you, if I said or done anything that was against your will or knowing or unknowing, I repent before your precious stone of grace, because we don't want anything to be hindered from your people, Lord Jesus, just because of something I said or done. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As said, Evangelist Adrian was talking about the subject, what are the benefits of fasting and praying? And she was saying that this is a broadcast, like a time of reflection that it was doing like once a month or once a week, whichever one. And she had asked me to share some different things. So I says, well, Lord, you know, I'm always sort of God in the background. And the evangelist said, well, you can't be in the background. You got to say something about God's word and his people if you've been with him. So I'm going to go forth with the benefits of praying and fasting and an introduction about the fasting. What is fasting? The fasting is so different. It's a time, they have so many different times. They call 14-day fasts, 21-day fasts, Daniel fasts, 30-day fasts, Jesus Christ fasts for 30 days and 30 nights, and also Moses fasts for 40 days and 40 nights when he went up in the mountains and God gave him the laws, and he wrote it with his own finger. I'll get to the to scripture. But anyway, it's a different thing. You know, it's like fasting. It's a refraining from eating food. The biblical desire, three main forms of fasting. The normal fast involved the total absence of food. So you can find that in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, that revealed that Jesus did eat nothing. Afterwards, he was a hunger. That's the scripture there. Jesus abstained from food, but did not drink. The absence from both food and water seems to have lasted no more than 3 days with Ezra 10 and 6. And Esther chapter 4, verse 16. The partial fast is a fast that they usually use in Daniel chapter 10 and 3. The emphasis is upon the restriction of diet rather than complete abstinence. The contents apply that there are physical benefits, too, for it resulting from this partial fast. However, this verse indicates that there was a revelation given to Daniel as a result of this time of fasting. So we can go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, if you have your Bible. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. I done turned too far down. Okay, just a minute. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. Verse 2. In those days, you have it, everybody have it. You can read along with me. I'm normally at the King James Version, but you can read. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So that's the Daniel, the 21-day fast that a lot of people, if you came 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. So that's what you call the Daniel fast, where he said he didn't eat or drink for 3 weeks. So that's the, would be the partial fast for Daniel. And then fasting is laying aside of food for a period of time when the believer is seeking to know God, we're seeking to know him in a deeper experience. It is to be done as an act before God in the privacy of one's own pursuit of God. And that's Exodus 34:28. You can write that down. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, verse 8. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. Fasting is to be done with the object of seeking to know God in a deeper experience, like Isaiah chapter 58 and Ezra chapter 7, verse 5. Fasting relates to a time of confession. You know, we got to confess and see ourselves, and it all brings all out that. And you can find that in Psalm 69, verse 10. Fasting can be a time of seeking a deeper prayer experience and drawing near to God in prevailing prayer. The early church often fasted and seeking God's will for leadership in the local church. And that's Acts 3, chapter 13, verse 2. When the early church wanted to know the mind of God, there was a time of praying and fasting. So that's fasting and praying. So introduction, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I talked about fasting, but I want to talk about prayer now. And prayer develops our relationship with God. What is praying? What is praying? That's a question, huh? To me, you, and all the listeners and everybody else. Prayer is simply communicating with God. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. The first mention of prayer is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Let us go there. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You have it? Okay, this is the first mention that I see. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enoch. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So you see, that's the first time they would say about, they prayed, that all through the first three chapters, it was different things going on. But here they left the Lord, but then they said, after they were put out the garden, and Adam and Eve knew Eve, and she conceived. So I guess this was the beginning of the way that God orchestrated life from then on. You know, in the garden, in the garden, it was like the Lord, he orchestrated everything. He made the heaven and earth in 6 days, and he made man and animals and all the different things, the food, the vegetations, everything that we need to eat. They say if you go back and read it all from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you will see how God orchestrated the earth, that he set the earth up, and he divided the waters from the waters, and he made the heavens and the earth, and then he made man with the vegetables. Then he made man from dust, from the earth, and man was made, and he breathed the breath of life into man. That's in Genesis chapter, I think, 3. And then you can go in and read it. It's in Genesis chapter 1 for time's sake. You can go from Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and then I was in 4 minutes, but I was just going back to summarize that because this is called reflection. So I says, well, okay, I can reflect a little bit and go back into the beginning. So, and then he made the vegetables and the fruits and everything for man to live by. Then he decided after that he would make man out of the dust. So he made man out the dust, and he blew a breath of life into the man, and he became a living soul. So that's where we get our soul from. Well, Jesus blew the breath into Adam, and he made a living soul out of him. So anyway, then he made a garden and he put him in there, and he told him of all the trees and all like that he can eat, but one he cannot eat because it'd be good and evil, and then it would be a consequences that he would have to pay. So then he done all of that, and he put him in the garden to tell it, and he gave man a job. He gave Adam a job to till. That's in chapter 1-3. And then he said, well, okay, then I'm going to put Adam in here. And then he said, well, I'm going to make Adam help me. He's going to make Adam was lost. So he made Eve. So now Adam was made out of the dust. He breathed the breath of life into him. And he became a living adult soul, a living statue of adult man. So then he made Eve, and he put Adam to sleep. and then he cut his side out of and took the rib out of Adam's part, and he made put Adam to sleep, and then he made Eve out of took Adam's rib, and then he closed it up. So here's the first surgery that's recorded that we know that was on this earth. That's in the Bible, that's recorded in the Bible. So he told him out of every tree in the garden, he could eat everything, but if he ate the tree, one tree, of good and evil, that he would surely, you know, die. So it's like a spiritual death. And Eve, the wife, got up and Satan tempted her according to the, you know, Bible. And she ate, and then she gave it to her husband, and he ate. So then the Lord called Adam, and, you know, they were naked, but it was like they didn't even know that they were naked because it was a natural application for them, you know. So anyway, the Lord called him, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, I'm hiding myself because, you know, he didn't have any clothes on. He was naked. He had new. We wasn't innocent anymore, him and Eve. So the Lord said, how you know that you don't have any clothes on? And then he said, well, that's in chapter 3 and 4. I'm just summing. You can read it. And then he told Adam and Eve, and he gave instructions, different ones, how he would he called Adam and Satan was upright, and he said, you will roll on your belly all the day. So Satan had to go down, and then he told Eve and Adam what they would do, and he didn't curse the man or the woman, but he cursed the ground, and he put them out the garden. So here we go in chapter 4, and Adam and Eve knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's verse 1, chapter 4. And she again bared his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So this is the beginning of the way God set the order of life to come forth. Before then, everybody was made or pulled from surgery, grown up. They were grown individuals. But here now they're coming into the baby stage where God has made the earth and how the family unit was going to come to be performed there. So that's what I was saying about that. So isn't that wonderful that all that miracles that happened in the book of Genesis and God done it? And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 15, he was stating that because they disobeyed him and sin came into that, that he would, you know, they would be spiritually dead. It would be a separation from him then. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 tell you about how that this separation, that the Lord was going to bring his people back to him. But it took 42 generations in the book of Matthews. But anyway, it's like, let's go back in here to prayer. So I was just going through that for a minute after I was over there to show you how we're in here to the world today, how families were set up according to God's holy plan. The Bible, the first prayer was found in Genesis 4. That's what it was all about there. Chapter 4, verse 26, and I read that. What is the correct posture for prayer? There is no correct or certain posture for prayer. In the Bible, people prayed on their knees. We can go to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 8. Evangelist, you have your Bible? Evangelist,
yes,
Bernard? Yeah, you wanted to read it? So we'll break some time. First Kings chapter 8, verse 54.
It says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praise all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven.
Well, praise the Lord. That was Solomon the king, David's son. And he, you know, he's on his knees. Okay, that's one way of doing it. And then in the they talked about bowing. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Evangelist.
All right, Exodus chapter 4,
verse 31.
Okay. It reads 31. Come on, please. Together. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped.
To 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18. You're writing them down. You can read them back at your leisure time.
2 Chronicles what?
Chapter 20, verse 18.
And it reads as thus, 20 and 18, is, but the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men which fought in chariots.
No, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20.
I have 1 Chronicles. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You want me to? Okay, I got it.
Y'all forgive me. Go ahead if you could. You got it. You can go.
Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Amen. So that's another form of bowing. And Matthew's 26, chapter 39.
You can do some work on it. All right.
Yeah, Matthew's 26:39.
Says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Amen. So that's Jesus saying, you know, and he's falling on his face and telling, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. So it was a struggle, but in the end, it made where he went on and done what the Lord wanted him to do coming into the world. So we struggle back and forth, too, with our prayer until we hear from the Lord. But Jesus read and standing, right? So he read and standing. You read that First Kings chapter 8, 22.
Got me rocking this morning, Sister Rose, this evening. 1 Kings 8 and 22 reads as thus. I got to get my new Bible these pages. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand toward heaven. Solomon again.
Isn't that awesome? That's still King Solomon, and he stood with his hands and praying fast. So there's so many different ways you can stand and, you know, and pray. You don't have to be on your knees, you know, whichever way, if you're in the congregation or whatever, but it's so many different ways that you can worship the Lord that is put to you in your spirit that you would be led. Because a lot of times you may not be able to say, well, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. You may be out and about on your job or whatever, and you can be sitting, and all of a sudden the spirit will come and say, well, I want you to think about this person and pray, and you'll be up there, yeah, and thank you, Jesus, and real low and all like that. So prayers is so many different ways you can pray in that. And what if I don't know how to pray? That is a real big question, isn't it? What if I don't know how to pray? The Holy Ghost will help us. We can go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 and 28. Romans, now this is what if I don't know how to pray? We've got an answer in the Bible for everybody, don't we?
All right. Romans 8, 26 through 28.
Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27, and 28.
Read, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. All the time with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Remember, he says, for the saints. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Ooh, you read that, Evangelist. I just felt like jumping up and running.
Oh,
the anointing, Lord, we thank you. And see, it's, if you don't know how to pray, you pray and you keep asking Jesus Christ for to know how to pray, and the Holy Ghost, keep seeking for the Holy Ghost. You know, as you go in and you may get baptized in Jesus' name, but you haven't been filled yet, and you don't know, and you're coming out the world, and you're coming into Jesus Christ is calling you into the church, the body of Christ, his body, and it's like a called out. Churches are called out people. So, but you're going in and you don't know. You're used to being in the world and coming in the churches, so it's a different experience. You don't know anything about it, but if you keep on continuing as the Lord draw you, because he say, how can you know how he can be drawn? Listen, he's drawn. You got to draw you. No man can draw you. The Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ got to draw you. Then you learn, and then you say, Lord, he knows your heart, your intent of your heart. You know, don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious, don't be leery, don't just allow the Lord to lead you, because he's the one that's calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light, into his church with his church family, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. So praise the Lord. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say, because a lot of times you can the Lord is calling you and you don't know anything about church or whatever the point may be. You've never been in church. You've all been in the world. You've been on the corners. You've been whatever, you know, because we all came out of sin and shame and darkness, and the Lord put the light on us. So, you know, just believe God. You don't know anything about a Bible. You don't know anything. But when the Lord called you out and to his family of believers, baptized, born-again believers, full of the Holy Ghost in his kingdom, he will lead and guide you and show you. So don't be worried. Don't be anxious. I know sometimes you come in, like I came into church, and I didn't know anything. I said, oh, Lord, I'm old. He called me because I'd be 71 this year. So he called me when I was about 50, and I done everything in the world and living like the world lived, and I didn't know anything. So they're talking about I'm going in the church. He's bringing me into a church that I didn't know about. I thought I was just going to a regular church. I didn't know anything about no denomination or this holiness, or you got to wear these long dresses and these old white stockings, and you got to cover your head, don't wear a wig. Now, this is about 20 years ago when I went through. Now, I was 50 years old or 49 at that time that he called me in. So I'm saying to myself, oh, Lord, I don't know. I know the world, and I know, you know, you're coming in, and they're getting up testifying, and I'm coming out the world, and these folks got snitches and people tape recording you, and the FBI and everybody else coming and lock you up, and people snitch on you. And I'm saying, what in the world are these people doing testifying and getting up talking about bread from heaven? So I was going to Safeways to buy white bread because I didn't know anything about the Word of God or the Bible, because I never went to church, or I just never done anything. My family didn't believe in it. But back then, like I was telling Evangelist Bernard, I'm always talking about back then, years ago, you know, they they had lockdown about 20, 25 years ago. You could not go after Saturday after 5 o'clock. They called the state stores and all like that where you bought alcohol at. That was separate. You couldn't find it in no grocery stores. That was like a store where they had alcohol. Grocery stores, everything locked down after Saturday. The state stores locked down after 5 o'clock in the p.m., but the grocery stores locked down. The liquor stores, they used to have bootleg, you know, where they sell alcohol and fried chicken and dinners in different people's houses to make money. And about 12 or 1, 11 or 10 o'clock Saturday night, you could hear them folks coming out them people's houses. But Sunday morning, everybody in America respected God. They may have been, they may not believe about the Bible. They may not have been Christians. They may not have been any other thing, no other race, but they shut down. And everything was locked down till Monday morning. And you couldn't wash. You couldn't go shopping. You know, no stores was open or nothing unless you go to them bootleg houses where they were doing white lightning over in Jersey, you know, out the bathtub and all that stuff. And that's the only way it was locked down. So you had no alternative but to worship the Lord. And you said to yourself, well, I don't know anything about no church or people or whatever the case may be. Why did we never went? But they made us worship on a Sunday. It was always about God, about Jesus Christ, about God in this America. And that was the way it was. And it was just so, it was scary to me when I came out here to California. I think about 40, I've been out here since 1973. So when I came out here to California, this is a reflection, so I'm just doing a little reflection for a benefit of listeners that don't know, or the Lord is calling you and you've never been in church or you don't know how I go or whatever. And I'm coming out here to California, me and my daughter getting off the plane, and I'm going there and seeing stores with alcohol in it and grocery stores open up on Sunday. I say, Jesus! Ooh, you know, we going to hell up in here. You know, I'm just saying, because it was locked down back east. We just didn't do that. But you see, over the time, and it was prayer and schools. It was prayer everywhere. And the Christians, the saints come out the buildings, the church buildings, and people were on the corner where I came from. I came out the inner city, as they called the ghetto. And they would be gambling or whatever, and the saints would the women or the pastors or whatever would come out of the church and go by. Oh, they would cover up their stuff. They were scared that the people had power back there. They knew their mothers and sisters and pastors had power back there. They respected the people back there. They believed the word of God, and it was so. It was imparted, and it was a blessing. So I think about that. I just said my age. You know, as you go forth in 50 years and 20 more, and it's so much different in the world. It has taken the whole shape. But we know that the word of God is going to come back, and people are going to be more afield and want to know more about the Lord and witness and save, and the power come back in the church. So fasting and praying will bring it back. It will sure show you who you are. You know what I mean? That you need to see and check your own self. So I just thought I would throw that in because it's a time of reflection. So here I'm going with, here we go. We look at the effects of fasting and prayer, the benefits of praying and fasting. You know, when God called us to pray and fast, and he always does so for our benefit. It's always for our benefit. So I was just thinking, I say, our attitude, feeling, and thoughts get shifted. They get pruned, and they get purified. Now, these are saints that baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and they know that they know just what is the Lord is calling and purify, so they can purify themselves. Because the Bible says that God is no respecter of person. If he gave me the Holy Ghost and he drug me out of them streets and horrible pit, life living and living with men and married and on what the world do. I was doing that world, but the Lord seemed fit to call me out. Somebody pray for me. So your mind is once you get into the body of Christ in the church, and you're purified so that God may entrust us with a great ministry by fasting and praying. We become more disciplined toward the things of Jesus Christ. Let him cut away from us those things that will slow us down. You know, we don't really realize it that as we get saved and we go on and they come with these functions and there's nothing wrong with it. They come with this, they come with that, and they always got stuff going on, but you can get lost in the house of the Lord. So you always got to keep praying and fasting and seeking God. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost and you don't know what it is, the Holy Ghost will show you just what it is, and they will put you in a place where you know that the pastor is concerned about your soul, because the Bible states in Jeremiah say that God wants pastors after his own heart, and God's heart is love. He loved us. You know, he made himself a body, and he came on this earth through 42 generations in Matthew's chapter 1. You find it in there. I'm just going through it for time. It just was hitting me, and it wasn't in my notes. But then, you know, it's 42 generations. He came to save us, and, you know, this was a miracle too. Jesus was a miracle because Mary got Mary pregnated, what, by the Holy Ghost. No man touched her, but God made, Jesus Christ made the Holy Ghost, and he spoke the Holy Ghost over her, and she conceived in Jesus. Hallelujah. So, therefore, and then he came to bring us back in right relationship with him. This is where I was telling you about in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he said he would bruise the heel of the serpent and then he would bring us back. Well, here was 42 generations when Jesus came and was birthed, and that was a miracle, like I said, because Mary was expound to Joseph. She was expound to Joseph, and hallelujah, she was expound to Joseph, and then the Holy Ghost came on her, and she was a virgin, and she said, it's in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, and she was saying, how is this? I know not a man, and he said, the Holy Ghost, it will shed over her. So the Holy Ghost came in, and he had no natural father on this earth. He just had Mary as his mother and the Holy Ghost as his father. So then at the bottom of Matthew's chapter 1, it tells you that Joseph was asleep, and he was going to put her away privately because he thought she was somewhere going laying around with a man, you know, back then, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him while he was sleeping and told him, Joseph, you go and marry Mary, because this is what Mary got, is of the Holy Ghost. And he went on and he married her, and then at the end of the Matthew's chapter 1, it tells you about he knew not Mary until after Jesus was born. So it was a pure birth, and it was a miracle. So I just put that in to say how Jesus got on the earth from God. God brought, made the body and came on the earth. So this is where Jesus came back to save us from our sin. And that's when, you know, he grew up. So I went that way. Okay, and then what? Forget not from his praying. Jesus Christ, let him cut away from us those things that will slow us down. And we don't know. A lot of things slow us down. We can get contaminated. We can get to, we think we got it all, you know, once you get the Holy Ghost and fire and on and on and on, and you're reading your word and you're praying and you're fasting, and the Holy Ghost is elevating you more and more, and you're seeing more and more, and you're coming into your ministry and on and on and on. So you can get a big head, or you can do whatever you do, and you forget to who gave it to you. It's Jesus Christ's gifts. He gives to the church, to the body of Christ. What did he do that for? To edify the body. You know, to edify the saints, to build up a man unto everybody. All the unity is in one. So you can get a big head and you think you done got this call and that call to bring a word or to prophesy or whatever you call, and you're missing the fact of seeking Jesus Christ with all your heart and mind so that you can be clean and pure, that it can come forth where it's pleasing unto him. Amen. And So then you can find out where he loads us with benefits. Let's go to Psalm 68:19. When we're doing all this.
Okay.
I don't know. I just went there. I don't know. Hi, hello, hi. Psalms.
68:19. You want me to read it?
Please.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah.
Isn't that awesome? That is wonderful. He even our salvation. Isn't that a blessing? Because you don't know when you're not, you know, when you're in the world. And we all came out of sin and shame. And we don't know that the Lord is calling us unless you were born a PK child, or, you know, your family was a pastor. They were affiliated with churches and on, so you know how it go. But when you're coming in, the Lord is bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's so wonderful to go into the church and know that Jesus Christ has called you in and he has saved you from your sin and shame, and he had picked you up to work in his kingdom. And then he's going to give you benefits.
Ooh,
isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
I said, Lord, I thank you. Out of sin and shame. Oh, didn't even know what you were doing, because you were living in the world. It was a whole different part from the world and the church, and you just thinking, well, I'm doing what the world do. I don't know nothing about Jesus or the Bible or whatever. Everything I'm doing to my own body. This is what my mindset. So who cares? I'm doing it to my own body. You know, whether I have 50 men or 25 or smoke dope or marijuana or whatever the case may be, all of that was injuring my body, and Jesus paid a price for us on Calvary. He died on the cross for us, for all men and women. He died on the cross for everybody, for all souls, he said is his. And for him to pick you up out of that filth and that muck and that, hang on, I'm off the seat, and that muck and mire. And then he would say, thank you, Jesus. He would say, come and sup, and I'm going to give you a Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you something that's going to be a keeper. Hallelujah, that you can keep in your life. Before, I'm going to lead and guide you. They say the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And here you is, and you're saying, I can't understand all this I have done. And yet, he still wants to save us and give us a ministry and to work for him. What love is that? It's no love you can compare to how Jesus Christ loved his people and the church. He loved all mankind. He wished all would repent and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why he's waiting. That's why he's holding back. He said he's holding back the pray and hope that all men hear the gospel. Everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. So we all should want to have the gospel. We all should want to know how to witness. We all should want to know how to please Jesus Christ. We all should know what our ministries, and keep praying and fasting and seeking his face, and come to with a pure heart, with a pure understanding that this I'm working for in his kingdom. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he had put us in the kingdom and gave us a name greater than any name on earth. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they're kept safe. Hallelujah. The benefits of it. And it's just exciting. I get so kind of emotional. I just think about how he bled, how he came out. how he came on this earth, that he will bring us back to him, and how he bled and he took the 12 apostles when he came on this earth. I guess I'm going through here. He took the 12 apostles, and in the Old Testament it was the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament with Moses and the law. But in the New Testament, under grace and truth, he put 12 apostles there. And one of them was Judas Iscariot that was betrayed Jesus Christ. So when you look around, it was 11 of them. And he bought them. He picked them. He handpicked them. And guess what? He handpicked ordinary people. Ordinary people, fishermen, didn't know anything about the Bible. Like I said, they didn't know. They went up there and they had, Peter and John. Went up to the tabernacle at the ninth hour, and they said, the people said, oh, them John and Peter, they're unlearned, and what they've been with Jesus. I sure want to be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. I just want to be with Jesus. So, and it says, forget not all your benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And Psalms 103:1, 2, and 3. Evangelist.
Psalms 103.
Uh-huh, and 1, 2, and 3 verse. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Psalms 103, high
of fire. Thank
you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine our diseases.
Isn't that awesome? Let's see, look all of what he done, all our iniquities and all our diseases. Forget not all his benefits. Don't we ever forget what he has done for us, that he sacrificed to come back, that he may bring us back into right relationship. And he's a holy God. He's holy. And you know, he teaches us to be holy. That's why it's so important to fasting and praying and reading the word of God and seeking the will of God, seeking his way, seeking his will, seeking his movement wherever he want to set you and you do. You want to have the mind of Christ before you move and do anything. And sometime with me, I can get lackadaisical or trials and tribulations come up. And you're saying to yourself, well, oh, I'll pray tomorrow. Or I'll do this. No, I said, Lord, help me. Bring me back. Teach me to pray. And he'll teach you. Teach me to pray. Teach me to fast. Teach me to move on. Teach me to live this holy life. Teach me to walk in grace and truth. Teach me what I know, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And he will. He's an awesome God. Among other things, they bring us closer to Jesus Christ and teach us self-control and dedication to him. We must be dedicated. How are we dedicated to Jesus Christ? By his word. They said heaven and earth going to pass away. But what's going to remain?
Hallelujah.
His word. That's why I tell you, get in the word. Read the word. Don't worry about it. Just pray. Lord, help me. You can teach me the word. Lord, I need to know what this means. Read it. Pray. Seek God's face. He'll show you. It'll come up off the pages, and you'll say, oh, my God. Or he'll bring somebody or send somebody. Or you may be walking or shopping or in a congregation, and somebody come up and tell you what you needed to know when you left your house that you didn't know that that's where it was going to be. So he answers. He's concerned about us. He loves us, and he just wants us to be real, to be whole, to be pure, to be clean. And, you know, we got stuff in our hearts. So basically, far as this life, I have learned to abstain from a lot of things. But still, it's my heart he's looking for and my mind. So it's a lot of things in the heart. Like he said, he knows the heart of man. He said he'll never destroy this earth again because man's heart is evil.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, he knows our heart. That's why you got to get in there and just keep digging and digging and digging. And through fasting and praying, you get to see yourself. If you want to see yourself, and then you look in the mirror and you say, oh, that ain't me. Oh, that ain't me, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for showing me me. And then you turn around and forget the mirror that you went in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you know what? It's so awesome because he's always telling. He's always kind. He's always working through this fast. He don't woke me up. I was just so, I guess not tired, but I've been woke up five times this morning. You know, to get up and pray. I mean, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Ooh, what time is this here? And I'm trying to, and Evangelist Adrian had told me to do a little reflection, and I'm saying, you know, you sort of not settle because you don't want one word to drop, and you want your whatever the Lord has given you to go forth to his people, wherever it may lay, that it will accomplish what it's set out to do. But praying and fasting, you be keen and sharp, and you know, and I think he woke me about five times a day. I mean, like from last night to this morning, I said, oh, Lord, and I crawled out. I said, oh, I'm going to crawl out here because, and that's what it do to you, make you aware. And he wants to fellowship with you, and he wants to be there with you, and he wants to tell you things, and he want to tell you how much he loves us and how he want us to do it and what he's pleased with and what he's not pleased with. And then he may take you to streets, and he may give you a song. He may give you a melody, but he's going to give you something. And whatever you're praying and seeking God for through this time of fasting, he will honor it. He will honor whatever you pray if you're trying to live the life that's set out before you as a child of the King in this word, okay? And it changes and teaches us self-control and dedication to him. Fire changes your thoughts and change your life. Our minds are sharpened when we pray and fast. We begin to understand the scriptures more. We become sensitive to Jesus' timing. Very much, and direction, with an increased awareness and ability to discern. We become keenly aware of what Jesus desired to do and accomplish, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of those around us. As long as the fast stem from a sincere heart committed to obedience to Jesus Christ. And you know, we just have to go by faith too, because even though we're fasting and praying, we must have faith to believe that what he's going to do and what he says he's going to do, he's going to do it.
Amen.
So I had wrote some stuff about my testimony, but I guess I think I done said it all probably in there. But anyway, I was just saying how the Lord will call you, and I was just going to give a little testimony, and then I'm going to get off. Do I have a little time, Evangelist, or?
Yeah, you got a few more minutes.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. I just got excited. Sorry about that, the saints. And but anyway, I just, the baptism and how the Lord led me to be baptized according to Acts 2:30, through his salvation plan about repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. See, it's a thing here which you got to get. You have to go in that grave, that watery grave, and Jesus will come in there and do circumcisions of your heart and take a stony heart and make it flesh. So you have to go in there, and he's saying, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How are you going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Jesus has to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost now. You can, when you come, when he bring you in the church, the pastor, the bishop, or whoever he's setting you up under in this congregation, they teach you, they guide you, and then you go to Sunday school, you go to church, you go to service, you go to Bible study, you know, all of the different things that help you to grow in the word. But Jesus Christ have to give you that Holy Ghost. And he said, how do you get the Holy Ghost? Through, it's like Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And what is that? You must be obedient to receive the Holy Ghost. So when you have a spare time, you can read that.
Amen.
Amen. So it's just been a blessing. I know I done went off all strip, off all pages, but you know what? I'm only saying I felt what the Holy Ghost gave me to say, because there's so many of you out there that don't know anything about the Lord, but, you know, you're in the world, or you're in different areas, or you may backslidden or whatever, but, you know, the Bible tell you in Hosea that he's married to the backslider. So don't fret, don't do it. If you feel a calling or somebody come up and give you out a track or hand you out, follow up, pray, let the Lord lead you back to him, because he said he's married to you. Any backsliders out there, he's married to the backslider. He loves you just like he loved all the saints in there. And if one go astray, he said in his word, he leave 99 and go for that one. And if you've never been in church, or you don't know what it is or how it is, don't fret, don't be worried. The Lord will send somebody your way. It's a proven fact. He done it for me. And he's no respecter person, and he'll do the same for you. So take, if you don't, just try fasting and praying. You know, just ask the Lord to teach you how to fast. Just ask the Lord to teach you how to pray while you're on this. You know, you don't have to be, the Lord may be leading you. You don't know how to go there. But just keep asking him to do it. And he loves to hear from you. He loves us all. He said, wish none should perish, but all come to repentance. And that's why the baptism is so important, because you got to repent before your sin, before you can get into the body of Christ and the kingdom. So I don't know. I done went off strip. I done this. But pray my strength in the Lord, and I'm going to turn it back over to Evangelist Bernard. I didn't even know I took that time. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank God for Sister Ruby today. She won that drawback and don't have much to say. She done brought it from Genesis. She didn't go to Revelation, but she went from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So a fool should not hear. That was good words. Today we're talking about the benefits of fasting and prayer. And I really thank God for that word on today. It certainly has encouraged my heart. And I tell you, just sitting here listening to her talking, my heart and mind went to Job. So Job said his prayer was pure. So if Job can say that his prayer was pure, he know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything he did, it was instant. He didn't do anything no against God, but sometimes your friends and your family, you know, they'll evaluate what they think has happened in your life. But guess what? If your sincereness is pure when you pray to God and you know you're right, sometimes you're going to suffer as an evildoer. Sometimes you're going to go through some unnecessary things, and but you can't avenge yourself. If you know you haven't done nothing, you have to continue to look to the Lord. So I thank God for Sister Ruby on that lesson on today, talking about prayer, talking about how God will wake you up, how he'll show you yourself. And even this morning, I didn't do no interceding for others. I said, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I needed some prayer this morning. I needed some strength this morning. I needed to hear a word from the Lord. And that was my prayer as I rose this morning. Lord, I ain't coming to you with nobody else this morning, but I'm going to intercede for myself. I'm going to cry out to you for myself. And that's what fasting and prayer do for you. It'll make you think about you. It'll show you your ugly ways. It'll show you your ugly attitude. It'll show you, hallelujah, what you need to see to get yourself together. You don't fast for somebody else. You fast for God to show you you. Lord, show me me. And you know when God shows us ourselves, it isn't a pretty picture. It's very ugly. Ah, hallelujah. When God really shows you you, show you how you gossip, show you how you thought evil of somebody, show you how you didn't say the right words to your brother, your sister in Christ, even your friends. I was even convicted on what I did on yesterday. But guess what? This flesh, if you don't bring this flesh into subjection, hallelujah, I say, Lord, help me to love. Help me to show more love to my my grandchildren, like I show it to my other friends in the gospel, and my sisters and brothers in the fight. Sometimes we can get so mad with our family. We'll show more mercy to the strangers, so we'll show more mercy to our friends, and we don't have enough mercy to extend to our own household. So we got to be careful of those things, thanks to God, and I'm repenting today. Hallelujah. I said, the mercy I'll show to others, I got to show it to my family, too. I can't show mercy to Sister Ruby, and then I don't show no mercy to God. The devil is a lie. Amen, amen. So I'm repenting this morning. I could have held my peace. I could have had a little more patience, but this flesh was ready to run. This flesh is ready to do what it wants to do. So I had to go before the Lord today and say, Lord, it ain't my brother. It's not my sister. It's me today, God. I need some help. Amen. So we thank you all for tuning in today. We had about 7 callers on the line. Everybody then dropped off. I saw Evangelist Joshua, Evangelist Lucilla, Sister Millie, myself. Dawn is still yet on the line, so I'm going to go to her. But before I go to her, I just want to tell you, give you this announcement about Praying Compassion Healing Power Ministry, 3rd Annual Women's Prayer Fellowship. That's going to be held this weekend. And their theme is a fresh God encounter. And this is Prophetess Harrison, Cheryl Harrison's church. And there is a luncheon also. So this is a prayer conference, and it's also a luncheon. And the donation for the tickets is $25. If you like this kid, you can call me or you can contact her at, the hotel is, I don't have her number available right now, but you can contact me for further information. I'll give you that information. Amen. That is this Saturday at 9 o'clock a.m. up until 2 o'clock p.m. And the location is the Holiday Inn Express at 9175 West Stockton Boulevard, and that's Elk Grove, California. And the gift is 95758. And the hotel number is area code 916-478-9000. So please come out and support her on this. And tomorrow, we expect you all to join us again tomorrow for the rest of the week. I tell you, you don't want to miss the rest of the week. God bless you, victory against all odds. That's in the chat room. I'm sorry. God bless you for tuning in with us on today. This week is a power-packed week. I tell you, Sister Ruby, to open up the door. Amen. Talking about the benefits of fasting and prayer. And tomorrow we have a young evangelist that I've known since she was a teenager. She's a young woman now, married with children, and she is evangelizing. And I tell you, you don't want to miss this young woman out of Atlanta, Georgia. It's none other than evangelist Sajana Logan. She'll be with us on tomorrow. And on Wednesday, we're going to have the STEM Award nominee, the Singleton family. They have a brand new CD called The Power of Love. And their single is going to be released on tomorrow, January the 15th. So go into the stores and purchase that CD, The Power of Love. And we're going to play it as we end the broadcast, and we're playing it all this week. They will be with us live on Wednesday. Amen. So you don't want to miss that. Amen, amen. And also, we're waiting on confirmation from another wonderful speaker. I won't give you the name right now because I have to get confirmation. They'll also be on with the Singletons on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we will have Dr. Kenneth Burford, who is another anointed, powerful teacher of the gospel. And he will be on with us. And he's from Christ Redeeming Center here in Stockton, California. And we're going to climax the week. And we have another young man out of Valley, Alabama, that's doing a work for the Lord. And he's with Open Heaven International. Open Heaven Outreach International, and you can access his website. Amen, amen. And that's none other than Apostle Jamel Tramiel. He will be with us on Friday, the climax this week. We're talking about the benefits of fasting and prayer. So we thank God for Sister Ruby on today. I see Evangelist Priscilla has come back with us. We thank God for Sister Ruby. I tell you, she broke that word down, and she also gave you the scripture. So that lets you know she was just not talking about, it wasn't her speaking, but it was the Holy Ghost. And that's what happens when you study. God will give you more than what you need. He'll give you everything that you need. He'll give you more than what you need, because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. We're going to Evangelist Priscilla. Then we're going to go to Dawn. I know she's off today. So God bless you all. We're looking forward to a great week. We had a life call-up number today, but the lines are going to be blazing for the rest of the week. So blaze on in here where you can hear this wonderful word of God for the rest of the week. God is doing something on this broadcast, y'all. We ain't on here just praying. We on here preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to Evangelist Priscilla for a comment or a remark. Amen. And then we're going to go to Dawn Benoit. Sister Dawn, amen. God bless you, Evangelist Priscilla, and thank you for helping me with the switchboard. I'm going to need you for the rest of the week if you're available. Amen.
God bless you, woman of God. I just love you, and I love all of God's people. I truly thank God for you, and I just miss you so much. And I was just so happy and elated. And I'm telling you, Sister Ruby, I ate good. I sat here, and I'm telling you, I truly ate. You had provided a very nutritious, healthy plate on fasting and prayer. I mean, you rolled it. I mean, you really did exegese your homework on fasting and prayer, and I loved it. It was just wonderful. And you know, my thing is this year is my fasting purpose is for a new destiny, a new higher height and level, oh, and rising in the Lord. And I am truly, I tell you, on my way, and I praise God, and I tell you, I'm just enjoying it all. I think this is about my second week going into the fasting. Me and an evangelist and some of the others, Adrian started on the 6th, and it's just going well, and I am speaking the faith of God. You mentioned that, Sister Ruby. I really enjoyed you so much, and because that's what it's all about. You know, we not only should fast, but understand, have the concept and understanding of the purpose of why you're fasting, as well as just going on a fast. Well, you know, they say everybody's going on a fast, so I guess I go on one. No, that's ignorant. You don't want to do that and say that. You supposed to have a good cause and a reason, and don't wait for other groups. Go out on your own. God is calling a fast. I mean, you read the scripture. I ain't going behind the message, but I'm going to let go now. And I love all of you. Evangelist Patricia Joshua was on the line, and all of you. I am enjoying this topic on this week. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and I will be with you on this week with the switchboard. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen, amen. And I thank God for sending help. You know, when you, the Bible says, effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, hallelujah, avail as much. When you are seeking God, God always take care of his own. Sister Ruby told us that. God is going to take care of us. God is going to provide for us. All he wants us to do is trust him. He wants us to trust him, and I'm trusting him. This year, I believe the mandate for my life is to fast more, and I've embraced that. I don't want I go on a one-day-a-week fast. Ah, hallelujah. But this week, I want to incorporate 2 or 3 days a week without any, all of this junk and this garbage. My body feels so better. And you know what? You don't find yourself sluggish. You find yourself with energy. You find yourself with life. Even your continence change. Oh, glory. Don't talk about dropping all of these pounds. That's not the purpose. But there are so many benefits when you begin to fast and pray and get some poisons out of our body. Oh, God, I bless him today. God has been good. Sister Ruby, Sister Ruby, you got to go back on the archives. See, yeah, that's what I love about Blog Talk. You can go back and listen to these messages. Hey, look at how God is great, son. Look how he has favored his people. Oh, God, I bless you today. Bless you, sister. Dawn, how are you? Dawn?
Yeah.
God bless you. How are you today?
I'm with Jarvis. Thank you. All right. I'm with Jarvis.
You with Jarvis. Tell my nephew hello. Don't make me come down there and get him.
All right.
Hey, T.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you too, and I love my sister too, so you treat her right down there, okay, because I'll be down there in Texas. You know your auntie, don't you?
Yes.
And you say yes. All right. Well, that was Sister Ruby on the line. Teaching and preaching.
I know. I wanted to say that one thing about Sister Ruby. When she get there, she go from the front to the back. I enjoy. I love Sister Ruby. I just love to hear her voice. I don't have to hear her preach. I love to hear her voice. And tell Sister Ruby, I say she had a wonderful word today, from Genesis all the way back to not Revelations, but she did that. That was very good, and I really enjoyed it. And she have a very blessed day. All of you all.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going back to our wonderful speaker, and let her have the last remarks, and I'm going to let her close on out, and we're going to close out with my, don't forget now, my cousins, that's my cousins, the Singletons, and they're a very anointed, powerful singing group, and they came from a family. Their father is still living. Their mother passed away several years ago, but their father is 84 years old, Bishop Alfred Singleton, out of Lansing, Michigan. So these young women and one man, it's down to six. It was eight of them. It's down to six. Some other ones have gotten married and moved on to other things. But they will be with us on Wednesday. So go out into the spirit. We have to promote our own. And they'll say, oh, well, why you promote? Are you supposed to promote your own? Nah. The world promote their own, so we are promoting those that are serving God, those that are doing something in the body of Christ. So, yes, I'm going to promote them. That's my cousin. And they're coming on this line to talk with you all and let you know what they're doing. So go out in the stores tomorrow and purchase their single, The Power of Love. And I'm going to play it when we end this show. So I'm going to Sister Ruby and let her have the final comments, and I'm also going to let her pray us on off the line, and then you'll hear that new single. Amen. God bless you, Sister Ruby. You did a fantastic job today. I mean, the anointing of God was on you.
He sure was. Oh, I received that in the name of Jesus.
Hey, praise the Lord, Sister. I haven't heard your voice in a while. Praise the Lord, Evangelist. How you doing?
I'm fine, Sister Ruby, but I think about you and pray for you all the time.
Good. I see your son is on there. Was he listening to the broadcast?
No, he was in the driver's license place.
He's getting driver's license. Okay, well, the Lord is, you know, the Lord is gracious and merciful. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good. I'm with Jarvis. I'm glad he's with his mother today.
Yes, isn't that a blessing?
Lord, it is. We just going to keep praying for him.
Keep praying, because prayer changes things.
Yeah, it sure does. I tell him that all the time.
Okay, well, then that's a blessing. We're on this line. Evangelist Adrian then gave me some time, so I'm good talking to you. And Evangelist Priscilla? Okay, so I guess everybody off. Evangelist Adrian?
No, Priscilla is still on.
I'm
right.
The Lord, you know what I want to pray for Minister Thompson's wife. Evangelist Bernard.
Yes, I'm still here.
You pray for Minister Thompson's wife.
Oh, okay, okay. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon, Lord God, and we want to bring Minister Thompson's wife, Sister Rosalind Thompson, before you. She's in St. Joseph Hospital right now. Lord God, we want you to go to that hospital right now, God. And you know Sister Rosalind, Lord God. You created her in your image, Lord God. You know everything about her body. You know every organ. You know every tissue. You know every muscle, Lord God. And we're asking you to allow, let it line up in the name of Jesus. Let your blood higher. Let your blood prevail. Whatever the situation is, Lord God, you said by your blood, by your stripes, we were healed, Lord God. So send your healing angels right now. Send your healing angels, Lord God. Lord, and touch her body, God, and touch her mind, God, touch her husband, Lord God, touch her children, touch her grandchildren in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you for what you're doing right now. We bless you for what you're doing right now, God. We see your angels right now. Minister to our mind, God. Let them know that you haven't forgotten her. Let them know that you are God that always heals. You are God that always heals. You are God that always delivers. Hallelujah. We bless you for all right now, God. And we give you glory and we give you thanks for your healing power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.
And hallelujah. You can close out. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. No, I want you to have the final comments and close us on out.
Oh, it was thank the Lord for everybody being on there and going forth and really appreciate you, Evangelist Adrian, for giving me the time and space to go forth with the word today. I just thank Jesus Christ.
Thank you,
God. And everybody else in archives and at home, Lord Jesus, bless, protect, let your word go out and accomplish what it set out to do. Hello?
Thank you. We still here. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We thank you and praise you and give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, we thank you for ministering to Evangelist Bernard, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what we all stand in need of. And yes. Don and her son, Gervis, Lord Jesus, and Evangelist Priscilla, you know, everybody that's on the prayer line, everybody that's been on and not on, Lord Jesus, you know what? You can go where we can't go. And we just thank you for this opportunity. And we thank you for the fast, even though we fast, Lord Jesus, maybe one day or 2 days. It's so crucial when it's a corporate fast. And Evangelist Adrian, you gave her to call out the fast. And, you know, like Evangelist Priscilla say, when you do it, you got to have a purpose. And she had a purpose. Just thank you that you included us on. And we just thank you for what you're doing on this broadcast, because she allowed you to have your word and your will and your way. If she has you to do and have and come forth and whatever you want to say or do from heaven, she allow you to do it. And that's why this broadcast is blessed. It's blessed of you, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you that you just found a part of us to be on here and allowed us to be at this time and season of this year, the beginning of this year, and that we're still here on this broadcast, and you're taking it further, higher depths, and mighty things, and we thank you and give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Evangelist Sedona Logan is going to be with us. We're closing out with the power of love, the Singletons. Amen. God
amen. Oh, thank you.
Let us talk with somebody the other day about love.
are the greatest gift in this world given to us. To say a word, a touch, or a smile, to lend a ear for just a little while, we'll let somebody know how much you really care. Now you can feel the power of love when you give up your sound. Cause there's a whole lot of people in the world that need your help. Now it's your feet, no shoes on the feet, no place to call a home. She's feeling all alone, so I give her my hand, cause I understand that that could have been me.
Praise that we all have used before. It's not just what you say, but it's what you do that speaks so much more. Spend time with someone close, or just to give a hug when it means the most. We'll let someone know what love.
Amen, amen.
Amen, that was a blessing. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. See you all on tomorrow. Thank you, Sister Ruby.
Oh, God bless. Thank, praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.